Hey everybody, Elon here. Quick little behind the scenes on how the show works. Lewis and Elizabeth just finished recording an episode and they posted the summary of the episode in our group chat. And I am just about to go and edit the episode and upload it. But then I see, first of all, an amazing episode title. Thanks for Ve Melk Maries. Brilliant. I was like, Lewis, this is already a great episode, I'm sure. Then I realize, actually, no, this episode looks terrible because I read the whole description. Not one mention of Jordan Stahl. Oh my God, I couldn't let that fly. So I figured I'll just do a quick little preamble here before we start myself. I can't believe Elizabeth, you have him. Me, you, Derek, and Ryan. We all have Jordan Stahl as far as I know. And we all streamed him in, and he just had a hat trick today. It's a very exciting day. And I just feel like he needs to be mentioned on this episode. So kudos to Jordan Stahl. What a stream. If he's still out there, check this out. Carolina still has two more games this week on the off days, Friday and Sunday. Then Carolina also has a good schedule next week. Next week is a crazy, like, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, like, super busy, and all the other days are light. And Carolina plays Wednesday, Friday. So you might think, oh, it's only 2 days. That's not good. I'd rather take a team that plays 4 days. Look, no. This is great. He's playing on two off day games. He's going to give you more games than if you add, like, whatever, someone from the Islanders who play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Trust me, okay? So I know this isn't matchup maximizer, but I just felt like I had to. And okay, and for sure, Jordan Stahl's not going to do this again. Probably. Though, before today's game, he had 4 points in four games. And now today, a hat trick. I'm just very excited. So I figured he might as well be mentioned. And well, I'm holding on. For at least Friday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Okay? And then after that, we'll all move on. But if he's available, I would take a look. Enjoy the show. I haven't even listened to it yet. I'm sure that you and I will both enjoy the show. See ya. Oh, also, one more thing. Yes, I'm recording this from my bed, not with my normal microphone. So I know this sounds bad, but like, I just thought it was worth it. But okay, all right, enjoy the show. For real. Which I'm sure has much better sound quality. What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Lewis Ezekiel. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, how are you doing on this fine Thursday evening?
I am doing great. I'm so excited to be back with you. We were talking about it before the show started. We've been separated for over a month. We're excited to get back together and do this show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we may both have some special listeners here tonight. I want to give a happy birthday shout out to my mom. It's her birthday tonight. So hope you're
Happy
having fun,
birthday.
Tina. And then I know we were talking earlier, you know, one of the challenges of doing a podcast like this is you got to give away, you know, a lot of your strategies, of course. So I know you are involved in a pretty personal matchup here. So I imagine your opponent is listening tonight.
He is definitely going to be listening tonight. I am playing against my husband for everybody else in not one, but two different leagues. So it is a tense place to be right now. We are both winning one of those matchups before this evening. So we will see how
All
things
right.
go. So I will still give everybody my best advice, but he has been not getting any all week. It has been no hockey talk in our house.
All right. Well, let's hope both of your teams get a little bit of a short shifts bump here. We had kind of an interesting event. I don't know that this has happened, at least within my hockey memory. And I know some other people were talking about it on the Keeping Carlson Discord with the other patrons. But we had Cole Sillinger come out of the lineup with an illness, Owen Sillinger into the lineup. What would it be like if you were replaced at your job or in this show by a sibling? I'm curious what you think.
Oh, we are a very competitive family, so it would be horrible. We would be arguing about who did it better. So let's just take the podcast, for example. It would be a who's got better ratings, who got listened to more, who was got more accountability credits over there with Trev, it would be a full matchup. We are a very competitive family.
Yeah, I could definitely see the accountability statistics. You know, in a month's time, everybody's just kind of like refreshing frantically trying to find out who gave that best advice there. Yeah, my sister, she's kind of the black sheep of the family. She's the non-teacher. She has a somewhat inscrutable but highly valuable marketing job that she does. I think it would be kind of interesting just because she has listened to the show a couple times just to be supportive and sort of see what it is that I do. And, I guess whether it was the show or my job, she says she can't always tell whether I'm doing a hockey podcast or I'm doing some kind of European history lecture. So, you know, just with all the names that get thrown out there. So I think she would be equally unsuited for either position, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't do a lot of really great things. So all the credit to her if she does happen to be listening here. But let's go ahead and jump into the content here. We're going to start with a big story that is not only a hockey story, but of course, the Los Angeles-Calgary game was postponed on Wednesday due to the just hellacious wildfires out in Southern California right now. Obviously, we our thoughts are with everybody who is, dealing with all of the struggles out there. I teach a current events class, so we've been pretty tuned into the story. I don't love that a lot of the focus is on like celebrities and celebrities who lost their houses. I love Cary Elwes, great in Saw. Obviously, the Man in Black and Wesley in Princess Bride. Even liked him in what was it called? Stranger Things as the nasty mayor. But I don't really care. He's someone who I imagine can rebound from a house burning down. I don't know that all that focus on, the richest people losing things is necessary. But anyway, definitely sending all of our best hopes on L.A. Are out in L.A., but obviously the Kings themselves and everybody else. Anything you want to add there? I do have one L.A. player to bring up, but I don't want to, step on the toes of a thoughtful moment here.
Yeah, like you said, it's our thoughts, and hopefully we can speak for all of our entire Kakutful family in this moment and just say our thoughts are with everybody impacted by the wildfires. It's a huge natural disaster, and I'm sure that we're all trying to wrap our heads around it, and we can't begin to understand what, like you said, everybody's going through right now. So just know that we're thinking about you, and then we're going to take a hard pivot back to fantasy hockey and talk about some of these LA players, because that's what we're here to do, and we want to entertain you throughout all of this. So let's hear it. What are your thoughts? Because I know I got a little bit delayed by those postponed games yesterday.
Actually, both my opponent and I lost two starts, so I don't think came out more or less pretty even. I think just sort of thinking about some players in LA, I really am kind of into Mikey Anderson. He reminds me of Jacob Middleton, who we're going to talk about in a little bit here, and who also got some discussion on the last episode of Short Shifts. Just playing huge minutes, 25 a night for the last six or more. Even more than Middleton has, despite all those injuries on the Minnesota blue line. He's had a nice little mini run. He's got one goal, one assist, six shots in the last two games to go with four hits and six blocks. We've had people saying, hey, let's make sure we are watching out for folks who are in those categories, leagues. So a nice stat stuffer for cats leagues or for points leagues that count with peripherals. With Joel Edmondson day-to-day and skating in a non-contact jersey at practice, I would guess that Mike is going to continue to be getting those big minutes at least for the next little while.
Absolutely agree. Definitely someone to consider and someone to watch for. Like you said, peripherals can be a big game changer for some people. And depending on what type of league you're in, you might just be targeting those. So I have to agree with you. This is a big one. And I will note the next couple of LA games are actually on the road. So if you were a little bit shy about picking someone up because of the postponed game, the next few are on the road. So they should be scheduled per usual.
Yeah, always good to keep that in mind. That's some useful info for us. All right, let's transition over to, we mentioned this a little bit before, but our other big headline is just about the injuries that are piling up in Minnesota. Brock Faber and Jonas Brodin joined Jared Spurgeon, Lauko, and Kirill Kaprizov for injured Minnesota starters, although they did get Middleton off IR. He had a big night the other night with a goal and an assist. We'll talk about him a bit later, but he did get covered, so I don't want to go too deep into it. I kind of wanted to ask, are we getting a little more nervous about starting Filip Gustavsson here with all of these injuries on the back end? He's been pretty good, but not as good at the start as he was at the start of the season, even before some of those injuries started coming in.
Yeah, this is something you have to consider. I mean, when we start losing so many defensemen and they're the backbone, right? Like they're the stop before the goalie. Can the goalie take on that pressure? And it's a lot of pressure to put on them, as well as the guys that are coming up who might be newer to the NHL, maybe getting their own feet wet for the first time, right? So it is a tough call. I would be a little bit nervous, but let's play it out, see how it goes. There's always a guy on the team who really steps it up in these situations, and hopefully for the Minnesota Wild fans, it is their goalie.
Yeah, you know, and this is something that has been kind of a theme on the show for the last couple years, especially with Brian and Elon talking about, like, when do you decide to sell some of these goalies, especially if they're really high use and, you know, they may start to break down a little bit. You know, Gustavsson had been already fading a little bit before the injuries began. Three of his four really bad starts, which is a save percentage below 850, have come in the last eight games against Utah, Edmonton, and St. Louis. And those first two do predate the Kaprizov and Spurgeon injuries and these more recent injuries. So I can't necessarily say they are connected. He has been fine in the other five starts that stretch. He has a positive goals saved above average in each of them. He shut out Carolina. But overall, the second quarter so far has been a step back from just the really outstanding work he was doing in the first. His quality start percentage has dropped from 70% to 63%. Still very good, obviously. His goals saved above average is significantly lower. And he's letting in, you know, about 0.7 extra goals against per game. So he's gone from about two goals against to about 2.7. So just something to keep in mind, you know, with any of these goalies who are starting lots of games, you may look to move them. And this is something, like I said, Brian and Elon have been talking about quite a lot. We can talk about some fantasy relevant options on D with Brodin in favor out. Declan Chisholm, Jake Middleton, maybe even Zach Bogosian, although I told Jay Brew that I wasn't going to talk about him on the show. You know, I would guess that Chisholm gets power play one tonight versus Colorado, but the returns from Brännström and Ty Smith that we talked about last week were so lame. I'm feeling really gun-shy about guys who are just power play one but little else. Chisholm just had 16 minutes over the last two games, and a Kaprizov-less power play one isn't super exciting to me anyway. I like Middleton of those options. Again, he was talked about previously, but just want to give him credit for his game when he came back. One goal, one assist, three shots, three hits, and a block. Shams pointed out he's probably already taking on as many minutes as he can handle, regardless of how many other defensemen might be injured. So it might be the other guys who are going to see a little bit of a bump. But again, like Mikey Anderson, really nice for Cats leagues that count those per ifs. I would expect closer to half a point per game than 2 points per game moving forward, but definitely a decent option and plenty of ice time for him. So just a little bit extra mention for Middleton since he not only came off IR, but also managed to put together a very nice night of hockey.
Yeah, Middleton came back strong with that one goal, one assist, and he was still in my IR slot. So I'm still a little bit upset about that, hoping that he continues on that trend. But like you said, it is a bit of a blender and they are going to have to split those minutes. This was my favorite line update of the day, week, recent memory. I don't know what we want to call it, but it says there are defensemen out there, but I'm not going to attempt the pairs right now because yikes. So for me, it's really hard to say that I would pick up anybody else. I had Middleton in my IR. I'm going to keep playing him. And I would suggest anybody else who did the same as me do that. But it's really hard to suggest that some of these guys who haven't seen those high of minutes, all of a sudden getting them, to say that they're going to be able to sustain that. So that's where I would sit at that.
Yeah, I definitely got excited and maybe was out over my skis a bit. That's a turn of phrase that has caused a lot of controversy in the short shifts discussion area. So I just let it loose again. But yeah, we can talk about that more later. All right, we're going to head into a real quick ad break. On the other side, we'll have injuries and outries, hot and cold streaks. You are listening to Short Shifts.
Playoffs?
We're talking about playoffs? You bet we are. Get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Scoring touchdowns is the key to winning in the playoffs, and you can score big by betting on them at DraftKings, the number one place to bet touchdowns. Ready to place your first bet? Try betting on something simple, like a player to score six. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make your pick. Or, hey, if you want to bet on hockey, it is a hockey podcast after all. I'm seeing some really fun lines, or you can bet on anything nowadays. Over on DraftKings, I'm looking at team futures. You can bet on which NHL teams you think will make the playoffs. I'm browsing down here. Ottawa Senators, Brian's favorite. Currently favored to make the playoffs. Wow. Lines and odds, of course, subject to change. But yeah, how fun would that be? It's been a while. Okay, check this out. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. All right, we've got some injuries and outries we want to talk about. We'll let you cover the positive news here. We'll give you a couple goalie outries. I'll take an injury in between. This is the big one in New York. Tell us about what's going on with the Rangers and their goaltending situation.
Yeah, New York fans have to be happy. We've got Shesterkin back in net, and I'm sure they were extra excited after somebody told them on a podcast last year that he was going to be out for the rest of the year. We won't say who said that, but we know somebody did, and it scared a lot of people. But we just meant the calendar year, so we're good. He's back. He's only missed 4 games. The downside here is he was on a 3-game losing streak before that injury, so we have to hope that this time has also helped him get a little bit of a reset. In his absence, it was mainly Quick starting. We had the 3 games of Quick and 1 of Domingue, and the team went about 50-50 in that. So definitely happy to have him back. He is their main goalie. He's going to get the majority of the starts. He's probably not available to you. So this is just a happy news story. And I will say that he did get the start tonight. We're about halfway through the third, and we're sitting at a 2-2.
Yeah. So first off, yeah, I will apologize. I hope nobody made any crazy decisions based on my little joke about the end of the year. Couldn't help myself, but I did have someone who said, oh, yeah, I maybe was a bit aggressive with that move to pick up Quick when I heard about it. So anyway, I will try and make sure I am being a little more sincere with everybody. But yeah, honestly, going about 50-50 is a big improvement for what the Rangers have been up to lately. So hopefully they've been able to turn a little bit of a corner here and are on the road to improved outcomes. Let's jump over to another team that has certainly had its own injury struggles. Sean Monahan, who's been just having a really nice season when, you know, it would have been reasonable, I think, for a lot of us to question whether he would have been fantasy relevant. But unfortunately, he is out for a little while. We don't know exactly how long. It's going to be for a bit. In the meantime, Adam Fantilli has taken over skating between Voronkov and Marchenko. He has an assist tonight in the 5-1 game versus Seattle, or 5-2, I should say, at this point, and a relatively hapless Philip Grubauer. I also want to toss some credit to some guys getting their first NHL points. Luca Delbel-Belouz with 1 goal, 1 assist in the third period of his debut, skating alongside Kent Johnson and JVR. And Denton Matichuk also got his first NHL goal as well. So Grubauer is giving these guys a nice welcome to the league. I think Fantilli is going to be a pretty good add while Monahan is nicked up. He's now on a 4-game point streak, seeing a big boost in minutes. He had a particularly low minutes game right before the last one when Monahan went out with injury, and he ended up with 19 minutes versus 12 the game previous. Looks like he's on pace for about 18 here on Thursday night as well. And he's just playing with those red-hot wingers. I'll give you a chance to talk about one in just a moment because I know you prepped a bit on Voronkov. I also like that Fantilli is shooting more consistently. Earlier in the season, he would frequently go a game without a shot. We haven't seen that nearly as much. So, I think, at least for a week or so, I think Fantilli is going to be a really nice option. And then you can make your decision about what to do when Monahan comes back, when that eventually comes through. But did you have thoughts on Fantilli? Did you want to talk a little bit about Voronkov here, who's been real hot?
Yeah, so first we'll say yes, Fantilli, he's looking good since the new year started. He was, like you said, a little bit rocky before that, but things are definitely turning for him. I think this is definitely the spot where he needs to step up and shine while Monahan's out, and I think he will. Like you said, he's playing between some really great players, and Voronkov is on a hot streak of his own. So 16 points in his last 11 games, six of those are multi-point games. I'm going to be honest, he's not available in the Kakutful, so nobody needs to stop the pod and rush to grab him in the Kakutful, but he is less than 50% owned on Yahoo, so do check your settings and figure out why he's available if he's available in your other leagues, because this is a guy on a hot streak that you should definitely look to roster, in my opinion.
I think that's a really good point about Voronkov. Maybe a little bit of concern for him, maybe to see a bit of a step back if Fantilli is a downgrade from Monahan, but if he can get out there and, you know, produce similarly, that's going to be a great sign for all involved while Monahan is out, and definitely for, you know, the future of the Blue Jackets organization, since he is going to be an important piece there. We got one more Ouchery in the blue paint. Tell us what's going on in Utah, please.
Yes. After missing 22 games, we are happy to say that Connor Ingram has been activated from the IR, and this is after he's done his AHL stint. So they are excited to get him back, I'm sure, over in Utah. I'm guessing he'll get one of the starts this weekend. They're playing a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, Sharks and Islanders. He had an 8.71 save percentage for the games before his injury. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the crease in Utah, because Vemelka has been looking pretty good with a 0.915 save percentage on the year. However, I think that this is going to be one of those cases where you've got to hold both of them if you picked up Vemelka like I did when Ingram got injured, and see what happens. I do think there's some concern that this is a 50-50 split. So if you are in a points league, this might not be the best to hold. But if you're in a Cats league or a league that has minimum goalie stars, this might be something worth looking into a little bit more.
Yeah, I was kind of on the same page there. My feeling with Vemelka is if we see Ingram come back and take even 50% of the starts, even though Vemelka has been good but not great while filling in, you know, he's had no games above 10 Kakupful fantasy points, but no games below negative 0.3. So that's fine. But if we're talking about, Ingram getting half the starts moving forward or more, even if he's giving you 5 points a game there, that's not a great average for what that slot is going to provide for you. So I think Vemelka managers, need to be prepared. We've got this back-to-back coming up, but, be prepared to let this guy go. I think if we start to see Ingram, take anything, approaching kind of his share of what he had before the injury, I think it might be time to say, hey, thanks for the memories. It's been nice for a bit, but time to move on to greener pastures. And we're already doing pretty good on our hot cold streak piece here. We've already done one of our hot players here, but we've got a couple more in Washington that we wanted to cover. One is the guy who scored all the goals in the last game for Washington. And the other is a bit of a roller coaster ride. Why don't you take the hot streak? I'll take the cold streak, and we'll bring this thing home.
Absolutely. So we've got to go over to Washington. We've got to talk about Pierre-Luc Dubois. He has been heating up. And honestly, I looked back at this to see when this started. It started in December, but he is carrying it through to this new year. He is ready to go. He's had 33 points on the year, and 14 of them have come in the last month, which is pretty crazy. And like you said, he had all the goals last night in their game, which sounds like a lot, but it was a 2-1 game. So don't get too excited if you didn't see the scores last night. He's taking his shots quite a bit right now. He's averaging a little over 3 a game since the new year. So that's the last 4 games. Looking pretty good. Definitely somebody on a hot streak who you should be looking into if he's available to you. He's probably not available in a ton of leagues, but definitely check it out and see what you can do with that magic.
Yeah, I think obviously, especially with Ovechkin coming back, we're going to see a little bit more balance in scoring from Washington. We already have seen, Tom Wilson kind of start to, really carry on some of what he was able to accomplish during Ovechkin's absence. That's pretty nice. I would be into PLD. I know he's not getting, all the best deployment, but if you are in a league that has enough depth where, those second tier players, do have some value, no reason not to jump on a guy who is in a bit of a hot streak. I've talked about a number of defenders that I kind of like in terms of providing some peripherals, but if it doesn't make a difference whether you're adding a forward or a defenseman, I would take PLD ahead of certainly Middleton or Anderson, who I, was talking up a little bit before. I just feel like you're more certain to get some production from those forwards. And of course, the ceiling is much higher for them to kind of go off with a big game. However, I do have to say one defenseman who, maybe has been providing us with a little bit of that level of excitement with some highs and lows, John Carlson. Would be nice to see a few more peripherals to help him boost up some of his games where he's not scoring. He had 52 points in 82 games last year so far, 26 points in 41 games. So even though it's been kind of up and down and a bit frustrating, he does appear to more or less be right on track with what he accomplished last year. That being said, I would kind of hope to see him be more productive than he was last year. We've seen what the power play can do in Washington when it is functional. We talked several episodes ago about how, this was a team after the first month who, was producing great at 5v5 and had a ton of room to grow on the power play. A little bit of the problem I feel like for Carlson is that Jacob Chychrun has really been asserting himself on the power play a bit more and maybe stealing a little bit of Carlson's thunder here, sort of similar to what we're seeing when he's healthy with Patrick Laine eating up some of the Cole Caulfield shots on the power play in Montreal. So that is something to keep an eye on. Is it does seem like Chychrun is threatening Carlson a little more this time around than he has been previously. But if they are both going to stay on that power play, again, the power play has been humming along and still has a little bit of room to grow and still be kind of within a reasonable range of expectations. So I wouldn't be running out to drop Carlson or anything, but I might start listening to some offers. Or you can strap in and hope that things start to improve for him a little bit.
Absolutely. If you're like me and you drafted him somewhere probably a little bit higher than most other defensemen and you were expecting a little bit more from him maybe than what you're getting, anybody in my Cats League interested, hit me up. I am tired of being on this roller coaster personally, but I'm not, like you said, I'm not dropping him. He's still producing. He's still a solid guy. It's just one of those things that you have to go through and you're always hoping that every year is an improvement on the last. And sometimes, like in this case, you're getting exactly what you thought you were. You're getting almost near identical stats to last year.
Yeah, really interesting to see when those things sort of turn up. All right. Well, Elizabeth, it has been a ton of fun. I think we have actually created a short looking shift here, but lots of hockey still to play here tonight. Can't wait to see how it all unfolds, but it's really been a blast having the chance to chat with you. I hope you are able to defeat your husband by obviously very narrow margins. We want it to be close. We want everybody to be able to say, hey, we played really well. We did our best. But let's come out with two victories there. I'm hoping to right the ship a little bit here through these injury woes, and I've got just a little bit of a projected lead here, so I'm happy with that as well. Thanks everybody for joining us. If you like the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group, keepingcarlson.com/patron, where super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers in our active Discord server. You can, parse all of my old-fashioned quips, try to figure out what I'm trying to say because I talk like someone who was, born in 1890 for some reason. I blame being a history teacher. You can also check out GameDayTweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without actually having to set foot in the place yourself, including team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. You can follow Short Shifts at Short Shifts Pod on Blue Sky. But please visit Game Day Tweets and all the other great sites we use to research our episodes, Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. And credit to Shift Chart. I've been using Shift Chart quite a bit trying to figure out who's taking over for some of these injured players and where they're playing. So I will toss them out here too. Shift Chart's been great. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.